It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Well, good morning and welcome to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, April 23rd. How are we doing this morning? Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Travelers. It's better under the umbrella. New time slot for Talkin' Golf. Last Sunday, I expressed my deepest sympathy to the Wolf family on the passing of Rick. Talkin' Golf would lead into his show. And what a pleasure to listen to him, to know him. I knew his father, Bob, from my early days in sports broadcasting. So, again, sending prayers and thoughts to his family and to the many people he inspired. And if you're new to listening to Talkin' Golf, this show is more than a show about golf. It's about getting to know people with the variety of guests we have on the show. It's about lessons learned on and off the course, inspiring and beautiful destinations, news about top issues, trends in the game, and you know, I've heard through the years that the show appeals to both golfers and non-golfers alike. So, and maybe if you're listening for the first time this hour, you remember my hosting, Hey Liguori, What's the Story for 25 years? Well, either way, I hope you enjoy this show as much as I enjoy hosting it. And last Sunday, we recapped the Masters, previewed the final round of the RBC Heritage, and last Sunday, I caught up with Gary McCord, who shared some very entertaining stories about his years at CBS. And you can always hear these shows, if you miss it live, archived on odyssey.com and on my website at annliguori.com. And then after the show, we distribute links to hear the show every week via social media if you miss it. So always plenty of opportunities to hear the show. All right, we have the first major on the women's calendar going on. The Chevron Championship played at the club at Carlton Woods in the Woodlands in Houston, Texas. And for the past 40 years, dating back to 1983, you remember this major. It was first called the Nabisco Dinosaur, then the Nabisco Championship, then in 2002, the Kraft Nabisco Championship, and then it went to the ANA Inspiration through 2021, and they were all played at Mission Hills Country Club in the California desert in Rancho Mirage. Beautiful place. And for 11 years, even before that, before it became a major, it was an LPGA Tour event played there. So, and you know, most memorable, you probably remember the winner leaping into Poppy's Pond by the 18th green. And yes, it was sad to see the major leave that area. It had so much tradition. But once the Augusta National Women's Amateur started in 2019, the final round at Augusta National being played the Saturday before Masters Week, and that was the same weekend that this women's major was played in the desert. So that took its toll on that major in the desert. And then attendance started declining and sponsorship dollars. And so last year, they announced that Chevron, the title sponsor that came in 2022, would move the major to their headquarters in Houston. And so these new April dates, you know, allow it to kind of get away from the Augusta National Women's Am, from the Final Four. And, you know, it really all came down to dollars. And Chevron increased the tournament's purse over 60%. So now the prize money is $5.1 million, which is an increase of $2 million from 2021. And the winner this afternoon will earn $765,000. So, and from what I've been seeing and reading, Chevron has been intent on trying to keep the same traditions as the championship enjoyed in their 51-year history in the desert. They have a hospitality area at the 18th green that's named after Dinosaur, and the winner will get the Dinosaur trophy. They had a champions dinner early in the week, and there is a lake in front of the 18th green, and Nelly Korda said earlier this week that she would jump in if she wins. So bottom line, without Chevron, there would apparently be no tournament, but it's an exciting leaderboard. I mean, a very tight leaderboard. Allison Korpa, she's 25 years old from Honolulu, Hawaii. Angel Yin. She's 24 years old from LA. They are tied for the lead at 10 under. They lead by one. Nelly Korda joins three others at 8 under, two shots back. Korda shot a 4 under 68 yesterday. Surprisingly, Lydia Ko did not make the cut at +3, nor did defending champion Jennifer Kupcho. And Lexi Thompson missed the cut as well. So in a couple of minutes, we are going to connect with veteran golf commentator Grant Boone. You see him and hear him on NBC, the Golf Channel, CBS. He will join us in a few minutes to talk about the Chevron Championship. The PGA Tour is in New Orleans, and they are playing their only team event, the Zurich Classic. Now, I like this event, although it doesn't really get enough of the top players in the game to participate. But the prize money is not the $20 million that an elevated event would get. But the winning team, they share $2.4 million. Not a bad payday for this team competition. You have Wyndham Clark and Bo Hostler. They have a one-shot lead heading into today's final round. They shot a 10 under 62, and they drained a birdie on the 18th to take the sole lead at 26 under. Clark and Hostler, they're looking for their first PGA Tour win. Keith Mitchell and Sungjae Im, they also shot a 10 under 62 in the best ball format yesterday. They are 25 under overall. There are three teams tied in third place. Matt Fitzpatrick, the RBC Heritage winner last week and the winner of the 2022 U.S. Open, he's playing with his younger brother, Alex. They're at 21 under, five shots back. And you have the defending champs, Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele. They shot a tournament record-breaking 63 on Friday in the alternate shot after getting off to a slower start on Thursday. They dropped back to 6 under yesterday. They're at 20 under. So they're going to play alternate shot format today. It's not an easy format. If you put your partner in a bad spot, it's not good. But hey, I don't recommend you play this format with your spouse. It's a very difficult format. But anyway, the two winners will share $2.4 million for first place. Not a bad payday. But they get a lot of perks, too, if they win. They get full exempt status on the PGA Tour through 2025. They get all kinds of FedEx Cup points. They get a spot in the PGA Championship and et cetera, et cetera. So it's really incredible what these winners get for, this team event. There are some interesting teams that did not make the cut, including Max Homa and Colin Morikawa. They did not make the cut. Zach Johnson, this year's Ryder Cup captain, he was playing with Steve Stricker, who was the captain for the 2021 Ryder Cup team. They did not make the cut. John Daly and David Duval, they played together. They missed the cut. In fact, they shot an alternative shot, 83, on Friday, 11 over. It was the worst foursome score in the six-year history of the Zurich team event. So not good for Team Daly and Duval. We will connect with Adam Shupak of Golf Week later in the show to get his take on this team event. We'll also talk about the LIV Golf Tourney that took place in Australia. It actually, with the time difference, it's wrapped up already. But they were playing at LaGrange Golf Club, where Greg Norman, who is the CEO of LIV Golf, won his first pro golf tournament. And apparently, the event has been sold out 4 weeks. And it airs on CW Network, tape delayed, of course. It's over, so I don't know if I should tell you the final results if you really want to see this afternoon. We'll think about if I can. Well, it's all over social media, so you're going to find out who won it anyway. But I watched some of the round two yesterday. They only play three rounds. There are 12 teams of four, 48 players, shotgun starts, no cuts. They play two competitions at the same time. They play the individual competition, which is stroke play, and then they have this team competition where the top three scores from each team count to the total team score for each round, and then it culminates with the team championship at the end of the season. And the TV coverage is really big on the team competition. It's, I think, a little confusing to really see what these players are doing and what players are on what teams. And there's music blaring everywhere. And they set up this par 3 12th hole similar to the 16th at TPC Scottsdale for the Phoenix Open, and they're calling it the watering hole. In fact, Chase Koepka had a hole-in-one there. And Taylor Gooch was lighting it up down under. He's the Oklahoma State standout. He posted a 10 under 62 on Friday, and he did it again on Saturday. And that moved him to 20 under. He took a 10-shot lead in the individual competition. And I guess I'll tell you, because it's all over social media. So he went on to win by three. Now, his team is called the Range Goats, and it's captained by Bubba Watson. And even despite Gooch's incredible individual play, the Range Goats, they did not win. The four aces ended up winning the team competition. And the four aces are Pat Perez, Peter Uihlein, Dustin Johnson, and Patrick Reed. So there you have it. I hope I didn't ruin it for you. You have the, again, my stance. I've talked about this many times on Talking Golf, but I still wish there was one tour that all the top players in the world played on each week. I've never been a big fan of LIV based on where the money comes from. I know every golfer has a right to do what they want to do and obviously go for the big bucks that were offered to them, but you know, you can't leave the tour you signed a contract with and bolt to another tour, you know, for the money and expect to play on both tours. Like, you know, have your cake and eat it too kind of thing. So I'm not a big fan. But, the money's significant. The winner of the individual competition gets $4 million. And the winning team splits $3 million. So on top of what they got to go and play LIV Golf, they're making a ton of cash during these tournaments. The PGA Tour champions, the 50 and over guys, they're playing in Irving, Texas at the Invited Celebrity Classic. Las Colinas. And Alex Cheka is at 12 under. He leads Mark Hensby by one. Rob LeBritz, our buddy from Glen Arbor, he's at 5 under, 7 shots back. They have a celebrity division, and Annika Sorenstam is playing in the celebrity division 20 years after she played at Colonial in that PGA Tour event where she teed it up with the guys on a sponsor exemption. So she's getting a lot of attention and you know, playing in this event as a celebrity. And from last I looked, she and Justin Williams, three-time Stanley Cup champion, they were tied for second. Now, they play a Stapleford competition, so they were 5 points behind Marty Fish. And boy, Marty Fish, I've covered his tennis career. He's winning more golf tournaments playing in these events as a celebrity golfer. The guy can play golf. He's up there with 40 Stapleford points for this tournament. Tony Romo, fourth place. Mark Mulder in fifth place. So it's always interesting to follow these other sports stars who just can't get enough of golf. They are addicted to the sport. You've heard about Tiger Woods. He had ankle surgery this past week to deal with issues associated with a talus fracture that happened during his near-fatal car crash back in 2021. The surgery was performed by Dr. Martin O'Malley at HSS Special Medicine Institute in New York City. And the surgery addressed the arthritis associated with the injuries to his ankle. And apparently it takes months to heal after this kind of surgery. And although Tiger was hoping to play in the majors and his own tournaments, he said months ago, I would think it's doubtful that he'll be able to play most of the year. So we'll talk about Tiger a little bit later. We can talk about the slow play controversy that has been going on a little later with Adam Shupak. But coming up, Grant Boone, play-by-play host for NBC, Golf Channel, CBS. He's covered the LPGA since 2000, so he knows it all. The women's first major championship of the calendar, the Chevron Championships. First round, final round this afternoon, and Grant Boone will weigh in on all things LPGA. But first, let me tell you that many of the world's best golfers will tee up at the Travelers Championship June 22nd through the 25th. Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler, Justin Thomas, 2022 champion Xander Schauffele, and many more. Next level competition, next level thrills, next level excitement. everything you expect from this world-class tournament and more. For tickets and information, visit travelerschampionship.com and be sure to catch all the next level action.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Talkin' Golf. And as I mentioned earlier, the women's first major championship of the season, the Chevron Championship, final round action this afternoon. And joining me now is a guy who has covered the LPGA for the past 23 years, Grant Boone. What an honor to have you on. Welcome to Talkin' Golf.
Hello, Ann. Good morning. The pleasure is all mine. You know what a big fan of yours I am. This is a real treat for me.
Oh, well, that's sweet. But here, the big question, Grant, will the winner of the Chevron Championship later today jump into the lake to carry on the tradition?
It is a great question. And several of the players have said they would. In fact, the co-leaders, these two young Americans who both have absolute star potential in different kinds of ways. Alison Corpuz, who's this slow, steady, I think she's kind of a tortoise in the hare. And hold that thought with a tortoise, because that's going to come back later in this interview. But she's slow and steady. She doesn't hit it very far necessarily, but she hits it beautifully. Great ball striker. Star from Hawaii. She kind of took the mantle from Michelle Wee growing up on Oahu. Just in her second year, she said she doesn't think she'll jump. You know, the water out there in Palm Springs, they had turned it from what it was, which was just a pond, into a chlorinated, controlled area. Well, this here at Carlton Woods in suburban Houston, they haven't done that yet.
Right.
And Allison said, if the stars align tomorrow, I don't think I'm going to jump. She said, doesn't look super clear. And then what did Angel Yen say? She said, anything. If you'll let me win, I'll do anything. Does that sound desperate? That's
wow.
What she said.
Well, yeah, there could be alligators in that.
Well, and certainly there could be anything. But Angel is this off-the-wall Southern California wild personality, hilariously funny, really clever, and hits it miles. Here's an interesting contrast, Anna. We see this in the women's game far more than we see the men. Angel came out when she was 18 years old onto the LPGA Tour and, you know, joined the tour. She was playing the U.S. Open when she was 13, the Chevron Championship when she was 14 out there in the desert. Whereas Alison Corpuz, you know, was a great amateur player, but then she went the college route, went to USC. So Allison's actually a little bit older than Angel, even though Angel's been out on tour now for 7 years. So both of them looking for their first win. And they're trying to do it, you know, in a major way, and when at this place that is hosting the old dinosaur that you and I would have called it for our whole lives. But I think your question is a good one, because, and maybe as much as anything, the purse would be the biggest difference between men's and women's golf, the prize money, but exposure is up there. And here's another thing: tradition.
That's
the
right.
Women's game doesn't have the kinds of traditions that the men's majors have, and it's because the men's majors, of course, had, you know, nearly a 100-year head start, or 70-year head start with the Open Championship in 1860, and the first, you know, U.S. Open wasn't.
And that tradition, jumping in Poppy's Pond, that was started by Amy Alcott back in 1988. And I want to, you know, before we get to the leaderboard, I want to ask you what you were most maybe. What was the most impressive dive or approach into Poppy's Pond that you can remember? Because I read where Annika, she dove in when she first won in 2001, and Patty Sheehan did cartwheels, and Carrie Webb did a cannonball. And then we had a caddy who did the flying squirrel leap. I mean, it just seems like it's such a tradition, as you've mentioned, that what's your favorite memory of that?
Yeah, all of those are great. Maddie Gelchis, who was the caddy for Miriam Lee when she won in that COVID year of 2020, I think he did the flying squirrel. Patty T, if you can go back and look at Patty Tavitanic in 2021, it was almost like she struck a pose, like midair,
That's funny.
And that was classic. And then, of course, there were some lowlights as well. Stacey Lewis's mom broke her leg jumping in when Stacey won in 2011. So it's a contact sport, that leap into Poppy's Pond. But with so few traditions, Anna, I really think I heard what you said earlier in the show when you were starting out in the Open that Chevron's trying to create some new traditions, and I just feel like. Yes, some may like to leap, some may not, but the reality is there aren't an abundance of the traditions in the women's game. Women's golf hasn't been on network television nearly as much, so those traditions haven't had a chance to be created quite as often, nearly as often as in the men's game. So I don't know what will happen, but I do know we're in for what should be a great finish with some great young Americans up there. And some other great players from all over the world as well.
And for those lamenting the fact that this major left a 51-year tradition and such a great venue in Mission Hills and Rancho Mirage, I mean, the bottom line is, Chevron came in with the much-needed sponsorship dollars. They increased the prize money by 60%. And, the money talks, right?
Money, it talks in every sport, in every business, obviously, but in the women's game, just look at the schedule this year on the LPGA Tour. The LPGA just doesn't have the kinds of funds like the PGA Tour does to be able to exactly arrange its schedule the way it wants, which is why you go 2 months without any tournament, and then you're going zigzagging across the country. We're going to be up there near you for the Cognizant Founders Cup at Upper Montclair here in a couple of weeks after being in L.A. and San Francisco. Then we're going back to Vegas for a tournament. And these players aren't flying privately, by the way, like many of the best stars.
And they started in the Far East early in the year.
They open in Orlando. They take a month off, and they go to Asia for a couple of – you don't have the kind of money to put the schedule together exactly the way you want it. You're a little bit beholden to what the individual sponsors want. And then when it comes to what you said, Chevron, nobody was saying, whatever we do, we got to get out of the desert. No one really was excited to leave the desert. People wanted to stay. I mean, that place, Mission Hills really was the masters of women's golf. It had been at the same place for 50 years. We had watched just like we do at Augusta. Remember this year with 13 having changed so dramatically at Augusta National. We saw that golf course evolve and change over the years, and it was great to be able to go back. It was almost like it was like a reunion every year on the LPGA Tour. It was the place. It was like coming home, and that's what made it so tough to leave. But ANA, which was a Japanese airline, which had come along to really rescue that tournament after Kraft Nabisco left, they weren't. Their future was very shaky. They were not certain they were going to keep it. Mission Hills, as a club, some wanted to keep it. Others weren't as enthusiastic. The time of year, it became opposite the Augusta National Women's Amateur. That became very frustrating for the LPGA Tour because, as great as that event I think has the potential to be, that Augusta National Women's Amateur. It was put, the Masters tournament put it right on the weekend.
That's right, same weekend.
Of the Dinah Shore, which is such a big event for amateurs. And look, this year we've got two amateurs who've made the cut. All of those factors, and then you bring Chevron in who says, we want to pump this purse up, pun intended. They pumped it up to $5.1 million, $750,000 for the winner. And they said, we want to bring it to our hometown of Houston. This club is magnificent. I know you've seen a lot of the footage and a lot of the coverage. The clubhouse is magnificent. It's about 6 hours from where I live out here in West Texas. It's a great club. I think it's worthy of a major championship. The leaderboard it's produced is a bunch of great ball strikers. And you got Nelly Korda up there with a chance to win a second major. I think it's been great, and it's change is never easy. I'm an old soul, and I loved it out in the desert. But I think this has a chance to be great as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you mentioned, the afternoon winner will she'll earn $765,000. Now compare that to the PGA Tour. You know, those designated events last week. Matthew Fitzpatrick won $3.6 million. By winning the RBC Heritage. But I mean, the good news is, Grant, that the LPGA will award $101.4 million in total prize money, which is an all-time high. It's 18% higher in 2022, it was, and more than double from, what, 10 years ago. So
right.
As a guy who has been covering women's golf for 23 years, what's been most impressive to you in terms of, you know, the growth that you've seen?
Well, I think the ceiling has been raised, and that's what I think is most important, meaning the top end of the purses have you know, really exploded here. You know, $10 million purse at the U.S. Women's Open, $1.8 million, richest ever at the time, when Minji Lee won the U.S. Women's Open last year. And that's going to keep going up. Not coincidentally, by the way, you connect the dots. Who's the head of the USGA right now? Mike Kwan, who for more, a decade had been the LPGA commissioner. He comes along and immediately the purse elevates to $10 million. All the majors are now over $5 million purses. It wasn't but a couple of years ago that the Chevron was really struggling to get into that, you know, $2 million, $3 million range for total purse. We're not talking first prize. We're talking total purse. And so now you've seen that the AIG, which is the sponsor of the Women's British Open, KPMG, they've taken that to $9 million. Now you're getting multiple million-dollar-plus first prizes on the LPGA Tour. The CME Tour Championship, CME Group, Terry Duffy, they have pumped tons of money into women's golf. $2 million for the winner when Lydia Ko won in November last year, the season-ending event. Now you're starting to see, you know, is money the most important thing? Clearly not. I think we've seen that with LIV. It's not unimportant. But I do think in the women's game, when they begin to play for more money, people begin to notice a little bit more. Now what's got to happen, Ann, is I think we've got to see the floor rise. The ceiling has risen. Now you've got to see the weekly tournaments. Hey, let me tell you, it wasn't that, you know, in the last few years, there had even been tournaments that are 1.3, 1.4, 1.5 million total purse. First prizes of $200,000. We were seeing that 15 years ago in the LPGA Tour.
Sure.
So it the tour, as some people know, took a big dip around 2010. Again, not coincidentally, with the recession. They changed commissioners. Mike Kwan really brought it back to a great level, high level. I think we're positioned for something really great. You got to get on network television more. I don't think there's any question about that. It's going to be on NBC today. There's going to be a lot on NBC three times this year. The Sunday round or the final round will be on CBS. You've been around in the media business for a long time, Anna, and I don't think, you may disagree, I don't think you can overstate the importance, even in this era of cord cutting and everyone looking on watching on their screens. There's something about being on network television. The ratings are always higher when
you're
on CBS or NBC.
Oh, absolutely. And NBC is, you know, really done a great job covering, I think, a lot of the LPGA events, and the Golf Channel has been all over it. And well, okay, so you mentioned the young women tied for the lead, Alison Corpuz and Angel Yin, but Nellie Korda, I mean, talk about a flawless swing. What I would give to have her golf swing. She joins three others at 8 under, two shots back, and what a great sports family. I mean, her older sister Jessica competes on the tour. Her brother, Sebastian, ranked 26th in the world in tennis. I remember covering the father, Peter Korda, in tennis. He won the 98 Australian Open. And the mother was played professional tennis as well. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. It has to be one of the great sports families in the country.
Oh, yeah. Regina played in the Olympics for Czechoslovakia. Yeah, Peter and Regina have created three phenomenal athletes, and you know, Jessica has been a terrific player. 6 wins for her on the LPGA Tour. She's really battled through injuries for most of her career. She's now 30, and you know, Nellie's just 24. Sebastian's the youngest of the bunch, and he's come close in some Grand Slam events as well, and is only getting better and better. Nellie really caught the eye of a lot of the PGA Tour guys when she played in the Grant Thornton Invitational, as well as the PNC Challenge with her dad. Max Homa and Kevin Kisner and Jordan Spieth, and these guys were saying, how does she not win every week? She doesn't miss a shot. She's phenomenal. This week we've seen little glimpses of maybe why Nelly doesn't win every week, and of course no one wins every week. But she's missed two putts inside, 3 feet in the last couple of days, and she's two shots back. Now she's made some great putts as well, but
she's drained some long bombs.
She has, but she's missed a couple that the others haven't missed, the 2 and 3 footers, and yet here she is two shots back. The last time she, and here's the thing for Nelly. She had a blood clot in February of last year, and she had surgery and missed 4 months, and it was
right
scary.
Right in the middle of her, she was playing so well and winning.
Well, she won 4 times, including a major, plus the Olympic gold medal in 2021, and then start of 2022, this, not just an injury, but this is the kind of thing that makes you think, is there something really wrong with me, and potentially, deadly, and she's overcome that. She came back to win last year in November. And what was the situation? She was two shots behind Alison Corpuz. Well, here's Alison Corpuz, along with Angel Yin, two shots ahead of Nelly going into this final round today. Nelly is all over ads. She's all over magazines. She looks like the cover girl of a magazine, which shouldn't ultimately matter. She is a star, is the point. She's
absolutely
got the complete star potential. And then you've got, 20-year-old Ataya Titikun from Thailand up there. Alban Valenzuela is like a walking United Nations. She was born there in New York City, grew up and lived a few years in Mexico. Then the family moved to Switzerland. Her father's, in the finance industry. Now they live in the Bahamas. She represents Switzerland. She went to Stanford. She's a shot off the lead. You've got I'm looking at 9 players separated by 2 shots at the top of the leaderboard, and a whole bunch of players with a chance to win for the very first time and to do it in a big way. So on NBC this afternoon with Morgan Pressel and Terry Gannon in the booth, and then Tom Abbott and Paige McKenzie and Karen Supples, our whole crew. So it'll be,
they do a great job.
I hope it's going to be a great finish. I hope it's, I hope somebody goes out and wins it, and that we have the drama that we have come to expect in a big event like this.
Grant, I have to ask you this before I let you go. Greg Norman said that female pro golfers from the Ladies European Tour have been asking all the time how they can get involved with LIV, and that they would love to see a LIV Ladies Series. What are your thoughts about LIV Golf organizing a women's tour? And how do you think the LPGA is reacting to that?
It's a great question. I really think it is going to be the defining question for Molly Marcoux-Simon, who was the longtime athletics director up at Princeton.
And she will be my guest next Sunday morning, by the way.
Oh, she's very impressive. I've really enjoyed getting to know Molly and working with her on some things. And I think it's going to be I'll tune in to hear what she has to say. I think it is going to be maybe the defining issue in her tenure as commissioner.
Sure.
Because, as we said, the kind of money that the PIF and the Saudi government has is so much that the PGA Tour can't even match it. And even Tiger has said, if we get into an arms race, Jay Monahan himself said, we can't match their money.
Unlimited funds.
Especially on the women's level, it would be extremely tempting. I also think with the LPGA being more of a world tour, yes, it's based here in the United States, but for even far longer than the PGA Tour, this has been a tour that's gone more places, that's had better stars, bigger stars from all over the world. I do think in America we have the privilege of being able to say who we want to do business with and who we don't. We know the American government does a ton of business with the Saudis. Every government does, basically. But I think we have that luxury because we are a bit isolated from the rest of the world. I think when you live in Europe and when you live in other places in the world, you don't necessarily have to like who you're doing business with, but you have no choice. If Spain and Portugal can't really, say, we're going to pretend the other isn't there. You share a border. You've got to deal with people who you may not like. And I think different people from different countries, have gotten more used to that. It's like, we don't have to like them or think that, you know, what they're doing is good, but this is reality. And on the Ladies European Tour, which was really dead in the water, I mean, a couple of years ago, it was on its last legs. The PIF came in and pumped a ton of money in to what they call the Aramco Series. They play an event in New York, every year, and have Lexi won it last fall. They've pumped a ton of money. So they've almost, rather than creating a separate live league, they've just taken a bigger investment into an existing tour, the Ladies European Tour.
Right.
And while the LET and the LPGA are not the same organization, they do have an alliance, and so there are some connections there. I'm like you when it comes to live on the men's tour. I want to see the best players in the world playing on the LPGA tour.
Thank you so much. We're out of time, so, unfortunately. It's such a pleasure to talk to you. Grant Boone, always a pleasure. I'll have you on again, I hope.
Thanks, Ann.
Thanks so much. Coming up, Adam Shupak, senior writer for Golf Week. We'll talk a little bit about the PGA Tour's Zurich Classic. But first, let me tell you that Travelers is always looking for ways to give our customers and communities more. And as the title sponsor of the Travelers Championship, we believe this year will be no different. Next level competition, next level thrills, next level excitement, everything you expect from this world-class tournament and more. With many of the PGA Tour's best players, thousands of volunteers and loyal fans, the Travelers Championship will be raising funds for nonprofits across the region. For tickets and information, visit TravelersChampionship.com. Next level action, June 22nd to the 25th.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to the show. And the PGA Tour is in New Orleans, playing the only team competition on the PGA Tour. And joining me from there is Adam Shupak, senior writer, Golf Week. Good morning, Adam. Welcome to Talking Golf.
Thanks, Ann. Good to be with you.
How's New Orleans treating you?
Oh, it's been a beautiful weather most of the week. That short rain delay on Friday, but other than that, it's been glorious. And my wife and daughter online at Cafe Du Monde to get some beignets. So day's off to a good start.
Nice. Hanging out on Bourbon Street, are you, with the family? Well, tell me, give me some fun stories, because these pairings are interesting. And, you know, it's, I think, more interesting maybe than what's happening with the leaderboard right now, are some of the teams that didn't make the cut. Like, what happened to Max Homa and Morikawa wearing the LA Dodgers jerseys? They missed the cut. That was surprising.
Team Morikawa, you had Homa, who's been playing great, seventh in the world, and Morikawa, two-time major champion at 13 in the world. You would think these guys are going to, definitely make the cut, if not, be in the title hunt. But they flamed out on Friday. They just couldn't get any putts to drop, and two shots short of the cut line. And so, it doesn't happen too often that these guys have the weekend off. But, I talked to Colin Morikawa after, and he said this is just going to motivate him. He knows this is an important time of the year. And, he's going to go home for a couple weeks and work really hard. And he's gearing up for major season and knows he has a few things he's got to do to get his game back in tip-top shape.
And then you have the U.S. Ryder Cup captain, Zach Johnson. I was hoping Zach and Steve Stricker, who captained the Ryder Cup back in 2021, I was hoping they would do well, but they missed the cut as well.
Yeah, I thought that was a neat pairing for those guys to get to spend some time together. The European Ryder Cup, captain and his assistant are here too. Luke Donald did make the cut. Those guys played together the first 2 days, but they made the cut. They had a team dinner on Tuesday night of potential players. And interestingly, one of the guys who's really in the hunt this week has a chance on Sunday is a young player named Nick Hardy, who went to Illinois. He was going to pair with Thomas Dietrich, his teammate from Illinois, but the Ryder Cup captain Luke Donald wanted to see Thomas Dietrich playing with Victor Perez as a potential Ryder Cup team if those guys happen to make it. So instead, Nick Hardy's paired with Davis Riley. They go back to playing junior golf together. And they're just two shots back heading into Sunday with the chance. Neither of them have had a PGA Tour win, and they could both get their first, today if they go low.
Wow, that's cool. And then, Tiger's caddy was caddying for Stricker. So what happened to LaCava?
Yeah, you know, he got the late call. Steve Stricker needed someone on the bag. He actually called his son, Joe Jr., first, but Joe Jr. was working a Corn Ferry Tour event for a player. So, you know, finally he calls over to Joe, who says, yeah, I'd love to do it. And he was actually a little mad that that he didn't get the first call. But, you know, he was on the bag. It was good to see him as well. I think one of the other really cool teams this week are the Fitzpatrick brothers. You have Matt Fitzpatrick, the reigning U.S. Open champ, just won last week at the RBC Heritage in Harbortown. And he's got his younger brother, Alex, on the bag, who's a very good player in his own right, you know, played on Walker Cup teams and is a young player, just turned pro last year, up-and-comer on the DP World Tour over in Europe. And they've shot 262s in the best ball format. And, you know, so they're in contention. And if Alex were to win, he would get full PGA Tour status for 2 years. So a lot on the line for them. So today is foursomes or alternate shot, a much more difficult format that really worked well on Friday for the defending champs. Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele shot 63. I don't know how that's even possible in alternate shot format where you alternate hitting shots. And to do that where it's really hard to get a rhythm is really impressive. But those guys are six back heading into today. It's going to be tough for them to defend. But, you know, in this format, they've thrived, whether it's President's Cup, Ryder Cup, or here at the Zurich.
I can't believe what the winning team gets as far as, like, full exempt status on the PGA Tour through 2025. They get all kinds of FedEx Cup points. They get a spot in the PGA Championship. Can you imagine if Fitzpatrick's younger brother wins? I mean, the guy sees himself with all, you know, this. It's huge for a team event, don't you think? I think it's almost like the PGA Tour is giving away the house here.
I know. It's not, you know, you're only hitting half the shot, so, you know, I agree with you to some extent. They do not get a Masters invite, and there are no world ranking points this week on the line. So, there are those things that it's not quite, you know, the same as winning a PGA Tour event. But you're going to Hawaii. You're getting a lot of the other perks involved with winning a PGA Tour event. And, you know, you have a lot of guys in the last three groups of those six players. Only two of them have ever won. And one of those is Sean O'Hare, who hasn't won in 11 years. So these guys will have to deal with some nerves as they come down the stretch and see who can handle the pressure on Sunday.
And I see that Wyndham Clark and Bo Hostler, they have a one-shot lead. I was watching yesterday, and they drained a birdie on the 18th to take that sole lead at 26 under.
Yeah, these guys are playing some pretty darn good golf. You know, Wyndham Clark has been the food and beverage director this week for this team. He's been setting up all the. He said they've been to, you know, four of the best restaurants in the French Quarter and really having a blast together. And then the other team in that final group is Sungjae Im and Keith Mitchell. And these guys, 4 years ago, Keith Mitchell asked Sungjae if he'd play with them after they had an experience playing together at the Honda. And Sungjae already had a partner, and so Keith was like, well, I'm not going to ask him again. It's almost like these guys are like asking each other to the prom or something, the way they deal with it. But Sungjae sent him a text a few weeks ago through his agent, said, will you play with me this year? And Keith had played, this is his 11th of 14 events. He was going to take the week off, but the chance to play with Sungjae Im, a guy who he thinks is going to be a potential Hall of Famer down the road. He said, I'm in, and they're playing great. Sungjae had six birdies in the first eight holes yesterday. And they've got a real budding bromance. They're just Keith Mitchell's just kind of coaching him around, and you know they have a bit of a language barrier, but they're just he said hitting laser beams and smiling. That's their approach. They're not going to change anything today, and it wouldn't shock me at all if those two came away with the title.
They're really fun to watch, those two. They crack me up. Well, we only have like a minute left, but, you know, slow play has been, you know, an issue of late. Patrick Cantlay has been the target of much of this criticism. Any slow play this week down in New Orleans? What are your thoughts on the issue overall?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a problem for, decades. And, you know, until the PGA Tour starts handing out penalty shots, something they rarely ever do, I don't see much changing. And, Patrick Cantlay's just, he's definitely deliberate and one of the slower guys on tour. He's the first to admit it, said so this week in the press conference. But, you know, he hasn't been, nobody's come up to tell him that he's playing slow, that he's on the clock. And so he's just going to keep doing what he's doing. He said there's too much money on the line. And, you know, until the PGA Tour decides they're really going to crack down on this, I don't think anything's going to change.
I agree. I mean, Matt Fitzpatrick, he's been outspoken about it. He's saying that, you know, the conversation has gone on for years. No one's done anything about it. He said it's almost a waste of time talking about it every time because they don't enforce it.
Yeah, it's, you know, they really do need to fix things. I mean, yesterday took you know, the leaders didn't finish till, you know, after the TV window. So they were a bit slow yesterday as well. And this just keeps happening. And it's really, you know, if you're a fan at the tournament, you see how bad it is. TV does a good job of masking the problem, you know, coming in at the right moment, right before a player's going to hit their shot. But there's a lot of guys that just take too long and they just don't care. And I think it's pretty rude of players to play slow like that. But with this much money on the line and FedEx Cup points and their job really relying on them having good results, they're just going to keep doing what works for them unless they get penalized. And it just doesn't seem like the PGA Tour is willing to crack down on things enough.
Well, I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more about it in the future. Adam, you're the best. Thanks so much. Enjoy New Orleans with your family, and I'll talk to you down the road.
Sounds good. See you at the PGA.
Thanks so much. My thanks to Adam Shupak, to Grant Boone, to Ed Arzuman in the studio. Have a great Sunday. I look forward to visiting with you next Sunday morning right here on Talking Golf with Ann Liguori. And stay tuned for Mark Melusis. He's up next. Have a great day, everybody.